some Never Trump Republicans would say that the president has realized an agenda of what they dreamed of. Tax cuts, deregulation, the ending of the Affordable Care Act individual mandate, to name a few. But others in the Never Trump movement focus on shortcomings and a departure from conservative values that have grounded the Republican Party for more than 150 years. We're exploring the movement today, where it stands. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Jerry Bader is the communications director at Media Trackers. That's a conservative media watchdog group. And he's also a former talk radio host on a regionally syndicated show heard in Green Bay, Sheboygan, and Wausau. He was let go last week by Midwest Communications. He joins us from our studio in Green Bay. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get too far into the conversation, we have to ask you about your release last week from WTAQ. You were quoted in the Green Bay Press Gazette as saying, quote, "It was made clear to you that the reason was the manner in which you covered President Trump." And so we reached out to WTAQ, the operations manager there, and he told us in an email that there were a number of reasons that had nothing to do with President Trump, and that the bottom line was a decline in ratings. He also said management stuck with you and your Never Trump philosophy throughout the campaign and Trump's first year, but based on ratings, had to make a change. We didn't invite you on the show, of course, to talk about the previous employment, but the story's out there. So what do you have to say about it?
Well, I don't want to get into a feud with Midwest Communications. Here's what I would say. I asked very specifically, and they specifically answered that it was about Trump. They did allow me on the air during the campaign, but also it was made clear to me at different points that they weren't happy with my perspective for some time. So, in terms of ratings, those could be debated forever, so I don't really want to get into that. I will say in 2017, in the spring, WTAQ and my show had great ratings. In the fall, they didn't. Ratings come and go, and we could debate forever what those are about. So it is fair to say that management have voiced displeasure with my position on Donald Trump for some time, and I would leave that at that.
Where is the Never Trump movement today, and is it a movement?
Boy, I think the second question is really the critical one. Is there a Never Trump movement? I think the fact that there is not room for voices on the radio these days, conservative voices, and understand, I'm still very much a conservative. I could go through a litany of issues where I have a conservative position, but that, in fact, if you do not support President Trump unequivocally, then you're considered almost a traitor to the cause. How many of us, if you will, are left? And here's the thing. The Never Trump movement was never really all that homogenous. For example, there are, let me give you probably one of the more high-profile examples. Jennifer Rubin, conservative columnist in the Washington Post. She is hashtag the resistance. I mean, there is nothing Donald Trump could do, say, you know, that where she is ever going to give him any credit for anything. And I heard you mention it earlier, I have given him credit. I think the corporate tax cut is great. I think the deregulation-minded effort is great. I think Justice Gorsuch is great. But in terms of a movement on the conservative side of American politics that are going to openly challenge Donald Trump, no, I don't really think as a movement that exists anymore, if it ever really did.
What about the voices of the national right-wing talk show hosts and the influences that they are having on the Never Trump movement and conservatism as a whole, thinking Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and others? What's going on there?
Well, and I think that is a huge part of what we have going on today in what I call a reality-free zone. Look, in all of my years as a conservative talk show host, and that's 2001 to 2018, I considered my brand telling truths the mainstream media would not tell. Now, that might be as a result of bias. That might be bias by omission. They just didn't want to tell the stories. In my opinion, and it's just my opinion, when I became a fish out of water, is that even after President Trump is elected, I would continue to challenge him on things. So then I'm on from 8:30 to 11, right? Or I was. And then from for the next 9 hours, on all three stations that I was on, you have Rush Limbaugh, you have Sean Hannity, you have Mark Levin, who have made it their life's mission to defend, deflect, protect Donald Trump at all costs and join his reality-free zone where these things that are just obviously false, they're going to defend nonetheless. And that is what conservatism is defined as today, in my opinion. How willing are you to go to the mat and defend Donald Trump at all costs? And I marvel at some of the things that I hear from those national shows when they try to rationalize, spin, twist, and defend anything that comes out of the White House or Donald Trump's Twitter feed.
Jerry Bader is our guest this hour, communications director at Media Trackers. That's a conservative media watchdog group. He's a former talk show radio host that was regionally syndicated, heard in Green Bay, Sheboygan, and Wausau. We're talking about where the Never Trump movement stands this hour, its history, its future. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Were you a Never Trumper during the presidential campaign? Why or why not? Where do you stand today? How have you seen the movement evolve? Join in at 800-642-1234. Jerry, President Trump has gotten into a lot of squabbles, if you will, with the media, even calling out specific reporters, networks as fake news. Does the president have really thin skin here, or is the media out to get him, or is there this ongoing feud, or is it about ratings? What's going on here with this fake news thing?
I think it's all of the things that you just mentioned, and let's unpack those one at a time. I know there are listeners who are going to disagree with me on this, but here's the reality. The mainstream media en masse is far more critical of Republican presidents than Democratic presidents, thus has been certainly in my lifetime. That's real. And I saw Guy Benson, conservative pundit in Madison a while back, and he made a great point. The media, now the left in general, but the media always had an outrage machine going with any Republican presidential president or president. And the example he used was Mitt Romney's binders full of women. Boy, that seems really quaint today, doesn't it? That created outrage. So yeah, the media has often put a target on Republicans' backs, but Donald Trump is now taking that and using it as a defense to say anything he wants or do anything he wants, lie about anything he wants, and then when it's challenged, well, it's just that media. It's just that fake media. So to a degree, yes, the media has made their own bed in that regard. It is still dangerous when the president of the United States calls the mainstream media in America fake news. They get things wrong. They do let their bias show. All of that is true. But for the most part, media outlets do good work. They did hurt their own cause when he was first elected. I really believe they thought they could take him out in 6 months, and they often reported more than they knew. And I think that hurt them, and that hurt them badly. He exploited that. He's very good at that. But also the criticism that anything Donald Trump doesn't like is fake news. That's true. That's how he dismisses everything. So, yeah, the media haven't always behaved as well as they should, but he is now exploiting that to completely marginalize them and discredit them. And as my friend Charlie Sykes pointed out in his book and elsewhere, we in talk radio were complicit in that over the years in our criticism of the mainstream media's bias to the point where we marginalize them more than we ever realize. So there is some blame to go around on both sides. But the fake news thing is just a force field he puts up to get away with whatever he wants.
And the unnamed sources, where do the Never Trumpers feel about these unnamed sources that are often populating these articles that are in our push notifications?
I use unnamed sources all the time, at Media Tracker, not all the time, but often at MediaTrackers.org. People in media have been using unnamed sources for a long time. I mean, that's just the reality. Now, there are rules, as I'm sure you know, there are rules to unnamed sources. Are they in a position to know what they're sharing you? Is it firsthand? Are they repeating what they heard from someone else? There are all of these things. Incredible news agencies go through that criteria to make sure that unnamed sources meet those standards. I believe, and again, just my opinion, I believe that the mainstream media did perhaps, and I can't know this, but did perhaps fail on some of these bigger stories.
And we have to pause right there, Jerry Bader, heading into a news break here. You can join this conversation about Never Trumpers, 800-642-1234. Back after this news update. A question circulating in political circles on the left, the right, the center: is President Trump the new face of the Republican Party? And what does that mean for conservatives who embraced values of President Reagan or the party of Lincoln? Jerry Bader is helping us unpack Never Trump sentiment and where it's at today. He's communications director at Media Trackers, a conservative media watchdog group. He's also a former talk radio host on a regionally syndicated show that was heard in Green Bay, Sheboygan, and Wausau. You can join this conversation. In what ways, and which ways do you think President Trump has helped or hurt the country? If you're pro-Trump, how do you feel about the Never Trump sentiment among Republicans? 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Corey, who joins us from Madison. Hi, Corey.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I would say that I wasn't a Never Trumper, but as a conservative, obviously I heard a lot of the voices like your guests say about now that were that way. However, I'd like to say, interestingly enough, I came to the Trump camp by listening to people, on the other side of the aisle that were for him. And interestingly enough, it was lifetime Democrats, like my neighbor, who I talked to a whole lot about it and got me to come around and listen and at least understand his side. And what really won me over was maybe not the man himself, but who he would appoint in the offices of his cabinet. So, Defense Secretary, the UN representative, goes on and on. I couldn't be more happy with the majority of the people that he's appointed, including the Supreme Court nomination.
So, Jerry, positive remarks there from Corey. He has come around to the Trump administration.
Well, yeah, it's kind of difficult. Here's basically what you have is you do have some sweet fruit from a very pungent-smelling tree is the way that I like to describe it. There have been some good things. Gorsuch is absolutely. There have also been some awful appointments, but there have been some very good ones. And the caller there just listed them off. Mattis, I think, was a great pick. I thought John Kelly was a good pick for chief of staff, but he's finally shown that was a debacle of a mistake.
Why do you say debacle?
Oh, my. For one, I can name a lot, but look at what just happened, the timeline concerning when the White House knew of the abuse charges against a chief staffer. Clearly that's not true. He has embarrassed himself greatly. When he attacked the congresswoman in the soldier widow case, that was when I first fell off that bandwagon. But the caller is right. There have been wins. There's no doubt about it. But does that mean that we should ignore reckless and sometimes even dangerous behavior by the leader of the free world? My answer happens to be no.
In the National Review last week, Victor Davis Hanson made a case for President Trump. He noted soaring stock market, high consumer confidence, the killing of regulations, tax cuts, record high oil production, decline in illegal immigration, demise of ISIS, tough UN sanctions on North Korea, and moving the U.S. embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. Hanson says Trump destroyed his 16 GOP rivals and beat the most well-financed and experienced and media-favored Democratic candidate in memory. why would a conservative not be on board with all of that?
Because results are great, and I love all of those results, too. But when you, and Peggy Noonan had this in a column in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, she quoted a longtime Republican operative, I don't recall from which state. When you normalize Trump, you normalize him for all times, both sides. So, great, we've got a lot of wins in the column. And I hate to use a sports metaphor, but it's the same way people said the New England Patriots cheating didn't matter because they were really good anyway. If we're just going to throw integrity, honesty, character away, doesn't matter as long as we get our way, how does that possibly end well? I don't see it.
Let's go to Ray, who joins us from Manitowoc. Hi, Ray.
Good morning. Very interesting conversation. I'm one of them scary liberals, your guest, and I would find a whole lot of fundamental differences. However, our disdain for the current White House occupant, I definitely share. However, I would like to expand the thought. Did not the Republican Party and the talk show hosts on the right not feed the extremists on the right? And this goes way back to, like, Reagan with the moral majority, even as far back as Goldwater chasing after votes. I mean, just Trump did not happen in a vacuum or overnight or just as an anti-Obama move. I'd like to hear the guest's thoughts on that.
Ray, thanks so much.
I would refer Ray to Charlie Sykes' book, How the Right Lost Its Mind. Charlie chronicles that very, very well, and he has admitted publicly, and I have admitted publicly, that even in our regional and local roles, we were complicit in that. We absolutely were in marginalizing the mainstream media, in preaching to the tribe and preaching to the tribe. Now, a lot of the things, look, we don't concede everything. I don't concede everything. A lot of the criticisms about the left and about the media were valid. But what happened is, and a lot of people are using this phrase now, but it is appropriate, is silos. We have all gotten into our silos where we were never listening to the other side, never listening to a differing point of view. And I'm going to be honest here to the caller, it's on both sides. I mean, both sides are very insulated and very intolerant of other points of view. I should be able to listen to someone, still not have them sway me, but not disparage them, not caricaturize them, and those sorts of things. So, yes, absolutely, talk radio had a role in this, but I would also say that the left and the media demonizing every other candidate that came along. They treated George W. Bush like he was Trump. They treated Mitt Romney like it was Trump. You know what? Pretty soon they got Trump, and they didn't know what to do with that.
In preparing for this hour, we've been, of course, reading a lot of opinion pieces out there. There was a piece in USA Today by Tom Nichols, a professor over at the Naval War College in National Security Affairs, wrote essentially that the Republican Party left him, betrayed him. He said he was worried that President Trump, whom he described as a callous and vulgar lifelong Democrat who cared nothing about conservative values or ideas, was hijacking the GOP. He figured the president's win was an abomination and that true conservatives will someday have to pick up the pieces and reinvent the GOP as a functioning center-right party. He also went on to hope Democrats suddenly defeat Republicans in 2018, sending them into, quote, the political wilderness for a few years, if that's what it takes to restore the GOP that he identifies with. What do you make of all that?
Okay, I'm going to disagree on a fundamental thing here, and that is the one thing that those of us conservatives who oppose Donald Trump were completely wrong about is, and it's done us our credibility the most damage, he is governing as a conservative. He's governing very, very conservatively. So in that, and that's, we just all got that wrong. He is far, far to the right of what any of us would have anticipated. I didn't believe he was a real conservative. That's the one thing we got wrong. However, again, in terms of the lack of integrity, lack of honesty, lack of character, that at some point that's going to lead to at some point outrageous is going to come back. Nothing seems outrageous anymore because we've been outrageous to death. But at some point there's going to be a line too far where it's all of us will be able to agree that that is not conduct that we can accept from the president of the United States. As for the midterms, no, I don't want to see Republicans get blown out. I don't think that's the cure. I do think being more willing to stand up to their president would help. But whatever I would like to see happen in 2018, I think that is a real danger, despite rising fortunes for the moment for Republicans and the president. I still think 2018 could be a very, very tough year.
Let's go to Steve in Sun Prairie now. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was a never-Trumper during the Republican primaries. I'm kind of like your guest. I wanted somebody who, more like a Paul Ryan type, that was a little more intellectual in how he spoke. But that just didn't work. You know, we have a media that allowed people like Joe Biden to cast Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, two of the most, you know, choir boy type guys, as racist, wanting to put black people back in chains, and the Republicans stood on the sidelines. I think the voters got sick and tired of it, and they wanted someone that would fight. So I fear every time Trump calls out the media and calls them out by name. In fact, I wish he would do it more, and I wish other Republicans would stand by them, including your guests, to attack in not such a highbrow way, but really get in there and call these people what they are, which is despicable.
Steve, thanks for the call. Jerry Bader, how do you respond to that?
Well, I mentioned that myself earlier, that the demonizing of really good men, and Paul Ryan is a really good man. Now, I have called Paul Ryan out. I have, when I felt that he wasn't adequately addressing the racial element of the Trump, at that time, the Trump candidacy, I called him out on CNN. I was very, very disappointed that he wouldn't do that. But Paul Ryan, and I went back to George W. Bush, Mitt Romney, and you could go back even further. It's exactly right. They were all treated as though they were David Duke Klansmen. They were all marginalized by the left and by the media to the point where you cried wolf. I'm speaking not to you, of course, but they cried wolf over and over and over. No one took them seriously when Donald Trump came along.
Does the Republican Party need to press the reset button? And is the Never Trump movement the reset?
No, the Never Trump movement is not the reset. Decency is going to have to be the reset. To say, look, I'm going to accept this, and this being all of the before unacceptable behavior of Donald Trump, that I'm going to do that because I have to, because I'm a Republican, because we're getting a lot of things done. I love to use the quote from the play Inherit the Wind, where H.L. Mencken, the character E.K. Hornbeck, representing H.L. Mencken, tells the teacher's girlfriend, the teacher that's charged with teaching evolution in Tennessee, you may consider me rancid butter, but I'm on your slice of bread. That seems to be where we are today.
Let's go to Rick in Beloit. Hi, Rick.
Hi, good morning. I was never a never Trump follower. I was more of a, I voted for Trump just because he was the better of two evils, I guess you could say. I'm still not impressed with him. As far as you saying he's truly conservative, yes, in some manners, you got to look at, I look at a conservative as being pro big oil and energy sector. And I look at a Democrat more of a medical sector. They're both giving money to big business. It just depends on which one. I just can't follow him. I probably will not vote for him again, though.
Jerry Bader, Rick says he probably would never vote for President Trump again. Is that a concern?
Well, that's a great question. It should have been a concern in 2016, but he won, right? So it's difficult to say. We either stand for something or we don't as conservatives, and that's why while I certainly accept, and the caller didn't seem to think that Trump was governing all that conservatively. He is far more than I thought he was going to be. But we on the right used to say character matters, character counts. My gosh, look at what happened in 1998 going after Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton looks like a choir boy compared with Donald Trump, but we don't care about that anymore. I am a person very strong in my religious faith. These things matter, and I'm not going to give Donald Trump a pass in 2020 any more than I did in 2016.
Let's bring in Sean in Burlington. Go ahead, Sean.
Hi. I appreciate hearing from guests like this and Charlie Sykes, but I think that the guest is trying to have it both ways. He's citing things like Mitt Romney's binders of women and the attacks on George W. Bush's record as being over the top and extreme. And then he's talking about the fact that we shouldn't normalize Trump. Well, those other things were really terrible things that happened, and they were extreme at the time. And now they're looked back on as not so bad because we've normalized Trump. But the fact of the matter is that George W. Bush was the worst president this country has ever had in terms of the kind of damage and mayhem he's caused around the world. And then I'll look back on him as some sort of a rehabilitated creature that we should look back on and think, well, you know, he was okay, but people attacked him. And now Trump is just... this is an example of why things were better back then. It's just absurd.
Sean, thanks for your reflections. Let's get Jerry to respond.
Oh, well, here's what I would turn that around on him and say that, in his mind, that George Bush and Mitt Romney were just as bad. But as human beings, I mean, I know he doesn't like their policies. That's two very different things. He and I are never going to agree on conservative policies. And George Bush destroyed the world versus the relationships Donald Trump is creating or destroying. So, no, I don't think that they were awful. I don't think they were terrible. And I think they're good, decent men. And I think that's the big difference.
We've had some callers who couldn't stay with us. John from Boyceville called in, said he's heard a lot of media bashing this morning. Says he doesn't need the media to interpret the morality of President Trump. All he has to do is look at the man's action. So are we being too hard on the media in how it approaches what should be covered?
I tried to make that as clear as I possibly could. I think the media does deserve the criticism at time. They don't deserve what Donald Trump is saying about them. I think, you know, there can be a middle opinion here. Calling the media fake news is dangerous. I don't agree with it. They have stumbled. They have been overzealous when it comes, particularly they've calmed down in the last 6 months or so. But in the first 6 months, they really had the long knives out and they stumbled. There's no disputing that. So, yes, I'll say it again. The media has made mistakes. Overall, they play an important role, and their existence shouldn't be threatened by the rhetoric or threatened actions of the President of the United States.
Talking this hour about establishment Republicans in the Never Trump movement who don't support President Trump's agenda, Jerry Bader stays with us. He's a communications director and media trackers, also a former talk radio host, regionally syndicated host. You can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. Were you a Never Trumper during the presidential campaign? Why or why not? Let's discuss after this news update. A sizable group of Never Trump Republicans remains vocal and critical of the Trump administration, and it is not clear yet where conservatives fit in, given that Trumpism is becoming more dominant in GOP circles. We're talking about it on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Senator Rand Paul delayed a Senate vote past midnight last week to mark his opposition to an estimated $320 billion addition to the federal budget deficit. He said the budget deal breaks past Republican pledges to rein in federal spending. The senator ran against President Trump in the 2016 presidential primary, and he's known for his libertarian leanings. We're exploring where the Never Trump movement is today and where ideals like fiscal conservatism fit into the picture. Jerry Bader is our guide. He's communications director at Media Trackers. That's a conservative media watchdog group. He's also a former talk radio host on a regionally syndicated show that was heard in Green Bay, Sheboygan, and Wisconsin. You can weigh in as well at 800-642-1234. How do you view the Never Trump movement today? Has it upended the direction of the Republican Party? Is it okay to be a Never Trumper and be a Republican? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Jerry, let's dig a little bit deeper on the budget. President Trump rolled out a $4.4 trillion budget proposal Monday. A couple of those proposals calls for $200 million in federal funding for infrastructure, half of which would be seed money to stimulate up to $1.5 trillion in municipal and private investment. Democrats, they're worried about this plan being a giveaway for the wealthy and would lead to more tolling. Is rebuilding the nation's roads and airports a priority for Never Trumpers?
Well, I think there are some clear infrastructure needs. I think there are a number of factors as to why they didn't get done. Some, in many cases, environmental opposition over the years. But this, you know, as you mentioned, the $1.5 trillion that states would have to come up with, and you also alluded to tolls as one of the things being looked at here in Wisconsin, I think it is a legitimate question. I'm not going to claim to have all the answers here. And by the way, that's one of the things that, I believe got me in trouble as a conservative talk show host. The three things in the Bible you're never supposed to say is, I don't know. I'm willing to say from time to time, I don't know, but I think even if you look at Wisconsin, the challenges for the infrastructure and the debate already going on how we would put up our share, I just think states are going to have a challenge with that.
So is the administration going about this issue the right way, the wrong way, with the seed money to spur state, local, and private investment? Can that work?
It potentially can. The question is, what is the number? Is it too high, the burden on the states right now? I honestly don't know. I think it is a legitimate question. But absolutely, there are infrastructure projects, and we thought some of these were going to get done in the stimulus package. Shovel ready, as President Obama himself conceded, ended up being not so shovel ready. So we've learned how to waste a lot of federal money. So I understand the desire to have this be a state-federal partnership. I do get that, but do the numbers add up? Again, I don't know.
The budget would boost spending for the Defense Department by $80 billion while cutting other agencies' budgets. According to the White House, the military would be, quote, a more lethal, ready, and larger joint force. Where do Never Trumpers view military spending?
Well, I'm definitely for a strong defense. I'm absolutely. And I think defense spending is important. We do have to look at where it's being targeted, what we're spending that money on. You know, you can take the number, the big number that you just took, but I think where defense spending has, where conservatives have left themselves vulnerable on this issue, is it hasn't been done all that efficiently. In the 21st century, what are our defense needs? What are our strategies? You know, we are seeing some concerns where things aren't functioning in the military as they should. You know, are we spending the money in the right place? Do we need all of that money? Will it be put in the places where it best serves a 21st century military? And by that, I mean the challenges America's national security faces in the 21st century. I am all for making defense a priority. Are we doing it efficiently? Is that the number we need, and is it going in the right places?
Going down the list of priorities, you can't but mention the wall, the $18 billion wall in the U.S.-Mexico border. Some lawmakers won't go along with any dreamer protections unless there are tougher border security measures, which could involve the wall. So how does this whole wall get resolved?
I think it should go away. Now, let me tell you my position on this. I think increased border security is very important. We cannot have open borders. We do have to protect our southern border. I do not believe the wall is the most efficient or practical way to do that. I am also a conservative who thinks that DACA or doing something for the Dreamers should happen. I think when you are brought here at a young age, let's just say 6 years old, it doesn't make any sense to brand you a criminal, especially when you've been here most of your life. I think for most of the Dreamers, we do have to do something. I would hope that there could be sensible immigration reform where those on the left recognize we can't have a porous southern border. We have to have border security. The wall isn't the answer. And we can also accommodate people who are productive members of society who were brought here against their will. Well, not against their will, but I mean, you know what I'm saying, that it was they were
taken as minors.
Taken as young children.
The Russia investigation continues to unfold during this Trump presidency day by day. The president has called it a witch hunt, said there's no collusion whatsoever. Where do you come down on this probe? Does the Trump campaign have some explaining to do, or is this a whole lot to do about nothing?
That is a great question. Now, I want to make a division here that I think is critically important and isn't made by conservatives long enough. Let's set collusion aside for a moment. Russian interference in our elections is indisputable. It is dangerous. It is harmful to democracy. And we already have those in a position to know saying we face that threat again in the 2018 midterms. America must understand this is an attack. Americans must understand Russia is a real threat when it comes to our democracy, when it comes to the integrity of our elections. And what happens is you throw the collusion and Donald Trump element in there, and people get confused and lose that. It is critical that we understand what a serious threat that is. I think there has never been solid evidence of collusion. I think the Trump dossier, the Steele dossier used to get the FISA, I think there are real questions there. I think did the FBI corroborate that stuff? But in terms of did anyone in the Trump world really collude with Russia, I don't think we have seen any there, but I do think the investigation should proceed.
Let's discuss a little bit about getting to the center, finding more unity and a centrist viewpoint. And let's lead off with Craig in Sturgeon Bay here. Craig, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Craig. Yes.
Well, thank you for having me on. I just had a couple of questions, or statements, really, and I'd like a reaction. The one is that I think that the extreme bias in the media on both sides undermines the faith that America has in the information that's coming to them. And putting down the media as being fake news, I agree with the speaker, is really dangerous, because then Americans will go toward, actually, ironically, the sources that are false. And democracy, of course, depends on an informed citizenry. And so that part is really undermined. Second is that I believe that demagogues, whether they're in positions of political power or in the media, eventually consume themselves. And I think that's what happened with McCarthy, for example. I think we will see that happens as If they're given enough rope, eventually it will take care of them. That's it. I'm going to get off the phone. Bye-bye.
Craig, thank you. Jerry Bader, two parts there.
Here's what I would say, and I want to go back to that first point, the demonizing of the media. And I know there are those in the audience that disagree with me that the media does have any culpability in this. And I want to fixate on that first point because I really think it is the most important. Yes, the media has to try to report as objectively as possible, but we're human beings and they're never going to fully accomplish that. They often have had a political agenda, and that is the cover that has given Donald Trump to criticize them. But to call them fake news, to suggest that they're not a legitimate news agency, that is dangerous. And to his other part of that, yes, then you get the normalization of the Fox News and MSNBC as being what is the mainstream media these days, and those who consider that their safe places, MSNBC on the left, Fox on the right, that's all they're going to believe, and that's dangerous.
Jerry Bader, as we wrap up this conversation, as a never-Trumper, what is your hope for the remainder of President Trump's first term?
Boy, that is a great question. That the conservative agenda continues to advance, that Republicans do hold the majority, and I'm very concerned about that in 2018, but that at some point, most importantly to me, that we regain our moral compass here and recognize that, hey, listen, I will forgive any behavior as long as it is advancing my agenda. Because you know what? You set that, and that's the standard now for Democrat, Republican, Independent, from here to forever. And that, I just think, is very, very dangerous.
Jerry, thanks for making time for us.
You bet.
Jerry Bader is communications director at Media Trackers. That's a conservative media watchdog group. He's also a former talk radio host on a regionally syndicated show heard in Green Bay, Sheboygan, and Wausau. He was let go last week by Midwest Communications. And you've been exploring the past, present, and future of the Never Trump movement. This Hour of the Morning Show was produced by Bill Martins and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. Special thanks to Ellen Clark for helping us out in Green Bay. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network.